The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin alongside. Don't forget, later this hour, Adam Burke will join us, talk Major League Baseball and football, plus our best bets. Kelly and I have a slew of bets. I don't know if it's a slew, but it's multiple bets that we'll talk about here on the show, and we'll review some of our guests' best bets as well. Don't forget, the Megapod also happens Thursdays, the Beating the Book Megapod. Todd Wishnev, Will Hill, and I do it every week. We've had just fantastic guests, as we always do. We're super humbled by who decides to spend their time and share their insights with us. Today, Rufus Peabody on the show. Always a pleasure when Todd and Rufus get together on the Megapod. So that's coming up.
I forgot about that.
That's coming up on after the show. I'm going to speed across town and avoid police vehicles and try to get home for the Megapod that's coming up after the show. But first, ladies and gentlemen, another hour of a numbers game, and it's time for the Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week, presented by Larceny Weeded Bourbon. Lock it a win and seize tonight. Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely. Drink wisely. All right, Kelly Bidlin. We like to see if we match on a pick.
Yeah.
And it turns out that we do.
We had two, actually, this week. We matched on.
We did. So we had to choose one of them. One of them is, and Buffalo Bills fans, back off, because we're on the Bills. Like the Bills here, I got the Bills minus two against the Jets on Monday Night Football. Obviously, the big story with both of these teams this week is that the Jets fire their former head coach now, Robert Saleh, and they do so after five games of the season and a 2-3 record, and they're going to go with Ulbrich, their previously their defensive coordinator, as their interim head coach. Woody Johnson made that move. But this doesn't change anything in terms of the offensive side of the ball. It's still going to be Nathaniel Hackett calling the plays in tandem with his boy Aaron Rodgers. I said after the Jets' London trip, and by the way, they are coming back from London as well for this Monday night affair. They look completely uninspired. The only chemistry that Rodgers appears to have with the wideout is with Lazard.
Yep.
Everything else looks completely static. There's no in-game adjustments. I don't think that this move, you know, somehow sparks the team right off the bat. And the Bills, say what you will about their last two losses, but what they've shown is they are able to beat the teams that are not the great ones in the NFL. Maybe they end up being the bully of the year, the Buffalo Bills. But this is a team. This is a big. We talked earlier about how the Niners-Seahawks game is a huge game for NFC West and NFC tiebreaker implications. This is a big game early season for the AFC, because if the Bills are able to win this, they got themselves a cushion in the AFC East. The Jets, on the other hand, they win this, they're right back in it, and they're the de facto leaders, if you will, because they will have a head-to-head, you know, kind of advantage after 6 weeks of football. I love the Bills here. I just think they're the better football team. I still say that their best play is Josh Allen and tucking it under, but that's a whole hell of a lot better than anything the Jets got going. As good as the Jets defense has played, it has not been as spectacular as it was last year.
Yeah.
I'm all over the Bills here.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. This is, and look, Buffalo's had some injuries they're dealing with. That's true. But you're talking about the Jets coming back from London. You hit on it already. This is a massive game for the division. I'll be honest, I don't think I would have been betting this as heavily, Gil, if I didn't bet it before the coaching change came out. I think that gives us not necessarily a bump like we see. I think that's going to be interesting. I think that this is, I don't think Robert Saleh was a coach that was hated in the locker room or anything. So it'll be interesting to see how the team reacts. I don't think there's much of a bump from that perspective like you're talking about, but oh boy, does this put a lot of pressure in my mind on Aaron Rodgers in this offense. For when you see a move like this happen, you got to step up and do your part on the offensive side of the ball. But everything you said applies. What have we seen that's been consistent from this offense this year that's worked? Breece Hall, we all thought was going to be an offensive player of the year candidate. They can't get him going at all. So I'm with you. The Bills, I think, were thought of a little bit too much after their early season success. We just saw them lose two games in a row on the road against Baltimore and Houston. I'm not going to knock a team for losing against two of the better teams in the AFC on the road like that. I think that kind of showed more who the Bills truly are. Dealt with some wide receiver injuries last week, running back injuries. I think they get things back on track this week in New York.
The Buffalo Bills, your Larceny Bourbon Smooth Bet of the Week. Looking for a bourbon that's rewritten the entire playbook? Well, going against the grain is Larceny's whole game. Larceny uses wheat instead of rye in their mash bill for a smoother sip. And with 25% more wheat than the leading competitor, it brings unrivaled flavor to your bourbon lineup. So stop asking, what if, and place your bet already. Seize tonight with Larceny Bourbon. Find a bottle near you at LarcenyBourbon.com. A numbers game brought to you by Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely. And Kelly Bidlin, yet to drink bourbon here on set, but that's coming, I'm sure.
Still waiting on that bottle.
Again, just an imperceptible amount every week. No one will notice.
Yeah, but then I'd have to crack. I'd have to literally break the seal.
That's true. Well, maybe there are other ways to get into the bottle.
I ran out during the break. I passed some guy that's wearing one of Bill's hats. Should we just grab him?
One of Bill's hats?
Bill Krakenberg.
Oh, a little Kango?
Yeah, a little Kango hat, yeah.
Bill Krakenberg, by the way, not here in case you missed it because he had to take an impromptu trip to the East Coast. Some other football news, though, that may have made more of an impact than the Jets coaching change in terms of a line. Here's one that did not. Gardner Minshew benched by the Las Vegas Raiders. Aiden O'Connell will start for the Raiders versus the Steelers. And the line looked at that and said, yeah, we're good.
Yeah, we're good. Oh. I was watching that one. This is what we talked about on Guessing Lines. I was watching that all day yesterday. I'm like, give me a 2.5. Give me a 2.5.
No.
I can't get there at 3, Gil. As much as we talked about the Steelers.
We did talk about it.
Like, I can't get there at 3. If it's anything flashes under that, I think I'll be involved. But me and you have already been enough road favorites.
But it's funny you say that because that was the big thing on Guessing Lines is it was this strange week where I loved all the 3-point or 3-ish point road favorites. You're right that when it came to actually placing a bet, Pittsburgh and the Raiders was the one that I did not make yet. Maybe feeling the same way you do about it.
There's also the, like, when we do Guessing Lines, I think it's great because I'll bet a lot of openers. I look at the opening lines. I bet them on Sunday afternoon, right? But right when we do Guessing Lines on Monday morning is really when you start to see the markets really react. And that was one. So let's take example. We're gonna go over all our bets later in the show. But like the Lions, that was one that started. Okay, those threes started to become 3-1-15, 3-1-20, even a couple 3.5s on Monday popping up. Steelers was just kind of flat 3 throughout. Even the quarterback change happens yesterday. Not really any movement. So
yeah. By the way, one of the more we don't often like take inventory of everything that was said on the week here on A Numbers Game, but one of the more interesting things that I thought was said was when Drew came on here on Tuesday and said that he couldn't get to 3 with the Lions.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty interesting.
I agree.
We agree on a lot, but every once in a while he'll throw in something where I'm like, wow, really?
Yeah,
I think that was one of them.
Yeah, I think I said it to you on the break, right? I feel like I'm aligned. Every week I'm aligned completely on one of his bets and then another one where I'm like either scratching my head or completely against him. And this one completely against him. Yeah. It looks like Ragnow's going to be back for the Lions. I like that matchup against Dallas. I think Dallas got 4 defensive linemen right now. Look like they're not going to play. I mean, this is going to be, we know what Detroit wants to do. It's for everything, for how exciting that passing game can be. As long as they can just run the ball all over you, they will gladly do that all game.
Michael Pittman Jr. of the Colts, their number one wideout, wide receiver one, if you will, suffering a back injury that is expected to sideline him for multiple games. That per Adam Schefter over at ESPN. The Titans, 2.5-point home favorites against the Colts. And again, for those who are new to this, quarterbacks are really the only players, with rare exception, that really move a line. Certainly Michael Pittman Jr. is not going to do that. Here, of course, is the biggest line move of the week, and this has everything to do with the Monday night injury to Derek Carr. No matter how you feel about Derek Carr, and there's a lot of folks who are not that big fans of Derek Carr, it's still a downgrade to whatever they have behind him. And the Saints and Dennis Allen has decided, they have decided to go with Spencer Rattler instead of Jake Haener. Jake Haener, you may recall, substituted in for Carr when Carr ended up with the oblique injury in the Saints' Monday night loss to the Chiefs. But as far as starting this week against the Buccaneers, and remember, that was a line in the look ahead where the Saints, or at least Monday morning when we did Guessing Lines, where the Saints were favorites, not knowing what the Derek Carr story was going to be later that night. And then obviously that flipped to the Buccaneers now being 3.5-point favorites on the road at New Orleans. So Dennis Allen goes with Spencer Rattler. Here's the quote on this. And it's just a very simple, straightforward quote on this, which is, we just internally talked a lot about it and felt like in this particular game that he was going to give us the best chance to win. Now, he stopped short of saying that, you know, the subsequent game, if it's going to be Rattler or Haener in that one as well, if Carr was unable to go. So at least for this one game, it's going to be Spencer Rattler, who was the 150th overall pick in the April draft, fifth round of the NFL draft. After, of course, great careers, or I don't know about great careers, but certainly solid careers at Oklahoma and South Carolina. Mm-hmm. So week to week is what Derek Carr is with the oblique strain. We'll see.
Yeah, nothing for me on this game from a betting standpoint. I do think, you know, who did we see this with last year where they talked about, you know, if the quarterback goes out in the, during the game, you put in the backup who's got a little bit more experience, but then you start the rookie the next week, right? Because you get a whole week to work with him on it. That happened with someone last year, I'm blanking on. But I think Rattler, like we talked about all the time, I mean, just the threat of the run brings another dimension to this offense, right? And I think that's always gives the rookie QB a little bit of a bump when we know he has that ability.
Yeah, if you're wondering about you know, the stats in the preseason, I was, by the way, wondering about that between Rattler and Haener. Rattler, higher passer rating by just a smidge, 76.9 to 74.8 in three preseason games. Threw for more yards, 270 to 202, and a higher completion percentage, 55.8% to 52.6%. It's preseason, make of that what you will, but in any case, Dennis Allen and the Saints going with Spencer Rattler as their starter this Sunday at the Superdome, hosting the Bucks as 3.5-point dogs. We'll come back, Adam Burke on baseball and football next. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on Un Juego de Números, a numbers game for those listening in English. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Thanks for joining us, and thank you for allowing us to be part of your mornings each and every morning here on the show. We always appreciate it. One update to what we were just talking about with our larceny smooth bet of the week. We're on the Bills, and I was talking about Nathaniel Hackett calling plays. Well, guess what? And shout out to NJD107 on Twitter for pointing this out. Exactly 39 minutes ago, it was reported, you ready for this? Todd Downing going to replace Nathaniel Hackett as the Jets' offensive play caller going forward. Interim head coach Jeff Ulbrich announcing that just moments ago. Hackett will remain the Jets' offensive coordinator, with Downing remaining as their passing game coordinator. So there you go.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know, I was talking about maybe it being a slight concern to me about the head coaching change. This just signals more that they have no idea what's going on or what they're doing.
Chaos.
I thought Hackett and Rodgers were like connected, so to break that up is telling you something.
Team turmoil, 2-point dogs at home against the Bills. Ladies and gentlemen, it's always a pleasure to have this gentleman on the show. He's a tough guest to book because he's very busy. He was part of the NBA betting guide, as he is all betting guides here at VSiN, and of course is prominently displayed at VSiN.com. The glue, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. You can follow him on Twitter at Skating Tripods. It's the great Adam Burke, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Adam?
Hey, what's going on, boys? You know what? The NBA guide was an easy lift for me because my senior editor, Zachary Cohen, took the lead on that one. I gave him that project. He did an awesome job with it, along with Jonathan Von Tobel and Kelly Bidlin supplying content. So all the credit goes to Zach for that one.
Zach said earlier, I want to correct you. Zach said earlier, if you like the guide, it was all him. If you don't, it's JVT's guide.
Right.
He said that earlier. So, okay. Just to clarify, but that's very nice of you to give that credit. Let's start with your Guardians, man. We got to start here. They're down 2-1 after yesterday's second consecutive 3-0 loss to the Tigers. It's Bibee going today. There is the looming specter of Scooble in Game 5. Let's start with today's game. How do you feel about it? Do they get to a Game 5?
I hope so. Look, I mean, you know, the problem that has plagued the Guardians really over the last several years comes to fruition in the playoffs. They don't make enough hard contact. They do not hit the ball hard. you know, when you look at the three games here in this series, even in Saturday's win, really outside of the Lane Thomas home run, they didn't hit a whole lot of balls hard. They had an expected batting average of 180 in game two against Skubal, expected batting average of 156. And then in yesterday's game, yeah, it was 254, and they did have eight hard hit balls, including the David Fry one that Matt Vierling just robbed at least a run, maybe two, and completely changed the complexion of the late innings of that game. They just don't hit the ball hard. They've hit a lot of pop-ups in this series, a lot of weak aerial contact. Nobody's really driving the baseball for extra base hits. This is their problem. And while this is the Guardians brand of baseball, it doesn't work in the playoffs. When guys are racking up strikeouts, it's much more difficult to string hits together. You know, so the offense just isn't good enough for this team. Even though the bullpen is elite, it's a top five bullpen dating back to 2000 in ERA, but the offense just isn't good enough. That said, today they get another bullpen game from the Tigers. And so Stephen Vogt got badly outmanaged yesterday by AJ Hinch. The way he used Keter Montero for the first inning, then went to his lefty and Herder, and the Guardians just didn't really seem to adjust well to that. We'll see if it happens again here today, and I don't know what Bibee's going to give you. He's a very emotional guy. He got lucky to get through the first inning in game one, then settled down when they gave him the five spot. I don't know, boys. I would lean Tigers, but I just hope my Guardians live to fight another day.
What are you more, I have to get a Cleveland fanhood heat check. What are you more in this very moment more aggravated by? What you just talked about, the Guardians and the lack of hard contact from their lineup, or just the utter disaster that is the Cleveland Browns?
Oh, the hell with the Browns. I mean, when I was, you know, when I moved out of my parents' house, had my own place and all of that, like my then girlfriend slash fiance and I, we'd go grocery shopping on Sundays just because nobody was in the store. So yeah, I'm a Browns fan, but you know what? The second that they signed, or the second that they traded for Deshaun Watson, a lot of my fandom for that team died because I have no interest in rooting for that guy. And it turns out he sucks at football now too.
Yeah.
Now what if Jameis Winston gets inserted?
That's right.
Sure. I mean, then it gets a little bit more interesting. Look, you know what? I will say this, in having watched the Browns, I still watch them on Sundays. It's kind of my connection to back home now that I live out here in Vegas. I have never seen Kevin Stefanski happier coaching this football team than when it was Joe Flacco at quarterback. I feel like we'd get, not to the same degree, but we'd get something in the ballpark if he was able to switch to Winston. And you know, it's Jimmy Haslam and ownership that's forcing Deshaun Watson here.
Well, when Watson walked off the field on that fourth down, Stefanski visibly irritated. That was just an unbelievable moment in that game against the Skins. Okay, back to baseball for a second, because I do want to get your college football thoughts as well. Anything on the Yankees-Royals game four today? Anything on the Padres-Dodgers game five?
Nothing on Padres-Dodgers game five yet. Haven't really had the chance to sit down and think about that one, but I am going to at least start by laying it on the Yankees here today with Gerrit Cole up against Michael Wacha. Look, I think the playoffs are tailor-made for live betting because you get these pinch hits, you get, you know, the leveraging of relievers, stuff like that. I think these games are tailor-made to live bet them. So if you want to start with a pregame position, then see if maybe you want to play back at it, something like that. I'm starting with the Yankees in this game, and I think it's probably a position I'll end up holding throughout the course of the game. But Gerrit Cole, I don't think he could be as bad as he was in game one. I mean, you look at that guy in the second half, 257 weighted on base average against, 276 ERA, 73 to 20 strikeout to walk ratio. Like, he looked like Gerrit Cole throughout the second half. He did not look like Gerrit Cole in game one, and I think maybe the extended layoff had something to do with it. Wacha just doesn't have enough of a ceiling for me as a pitch to contact guy in this playoff environment. And guys, the other thing, the Royals used six relievers yesterday, and they used a lot of relievers a couple of days ago too.
Yeah, man.
The better offense gets better in a playoff series as they get more exposure to the relievers. Now, of course, in the division series here, it's been a little bit different because we've had three division rivals going head to head that are familiar with each other inside and out already. But I think in a series like this, where the Royals bullpen got a lot better throughout the course of the season and was really good in September, but they got a lot of lefties out there. And also the Yankees are just a better offense that's more capable of making adjustments in those late inning situations. So I think there's a pretty big advantage for the Yankees at this point in time. Full disclosure, I was on Kansas City yesterday. Wish they would have pulled that one out. But I think today this series is over with Cole looking better. And also the relievers just, they don't have enough swing and miss stuff, I don't think, to keep getting through this Yankee lineup in a series like this.
And a great point about live betting, Adam. I couldn't agree with you more. It is really set up with all of the pitching changes for live betting for sure, probably more so than pre-flop. Let's go to college football. You have a three pack, sir. The floor is yours.
Yeah, I actually, you know what, we'll go ahead and talk about one that I'm looking at here for tonight first, because we got three games here tonight on Thursday. I like Middle Tennessee tonight, +4.5, +5 against Louisiana Tech. MTSU's been a team that I've been dropping in my power ratings like a rock, but also they've played a tough schedule. They played the number 42 schedule in the country, according to Jeff Sager, and that's the only top 76 schedule in this conference here so far. The next team is 77. And it's not even Louisiana Tech, who's lost their last two games to Tulsa and FIU, who are both very, very bad football teams. So I think MTSU is stepping down in class here quite significantly. I think it's a game where they at least have the opportunity to hang around and lose a close game. But I would do the 80-20 spread and money line sprinkle on this one tonight, because I think they're very live to win the game now that they're finally facing a team that they can handle.
All right, little sprinkle on MTSU tonight.
A little sprinkle.
Excites you?
A little sprinkle.
All right, we got a little college, we got pro, we got baseball. Let's go to Saturday. What do you have?
Yeah, so, guys, I'm going to lay it with Clemson here. They're 20-point favorite against Wake Forest. Look, this Clemson team had scored 90 points in the first quarter of their last four games, leading 35-0, 28-0, 10-0, 17-0. They've figured it out. I don't know what they did after that Georgia game. Hell, maybe it was just playing a team like Georgia, but they figured it out. And so Cade Klubnik is running this offense very effectively, 7.8 yards per play in the last four games. I just don't think Wake Forest can keep pace here. Wake Forest got blown away by Ole Miss. That's the closest team they've played to Clemson this season. They've beaten North Carolina A&T and NC State, who are both bad. Virginia and Louisiana, they lost to, were not great teams. I think Clemson can name the score here in this one. And frankly, they've been very interested in naming the score over their last four games. So I think they do it again here against Wake Forest.
Who needs a stinking transfer portal?
Gil, I like Clemson in the first quarter. Did you know they've scored 90 points in the first quarter over their last four games?
Wow, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do you like
something came up with
Kelly Bidlin, everybody, on college football. And then third and finally, what do you got?
Yeah, I'm laying it with Pitt this week, guys. Cal's in a brutal spot, first of all. You know, not that spots are the be-all, end-all for me, but it's definitely part of my handicapping process where Cal loses that game in devastating fashion to Miami. They have to make their third long trip of the season already. They've played at Auburn. They've also played down in Tallahassee against Florida State. Now a long way away from home against Pitt. Pitt's offense looks great with offensive coordinator Cade Bell. Eli Holstein's running this thing extremely well. Pat Narduzzi finally realized, hey, you need to score points to win college football games. So he went back to an offensive-minded OC that's willing to throw the football. Pitt's really good. And also Cal, Jaden Ott, their best player, under 3 yards a carry this season. So give me the Pitt Panthers here in this one. 3 at extra juice or even 3.5 are good with me.
I love it. Pitt trying to get to 6-0 and then heading into their second bye, they would be 6-0. And then they get their 6-game stretch to close the season, the second half of the season. Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it.
Have a good one, guys.
Adam Burke, everybody. I am quite invested in Pitt's success, if you know what I mean.
I made that line 7, so value.
Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Are you looking for some action? ACTION. Our friends at First Bet, wasn't that a cheerleading thing?
Not in my high school.
Oh, yeah. ACTION. Action, action. We want action. You don't know? Man, what country did you grow up in? Oh, not this one. That's right. Our friends at First Bet have you covered. Sign up today to unlock exclusive promotions plus watch and wager on hundreds of exciting horse races every day from across the country and around the world. Sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. Use promo code VSIN200 to claim a 20% rebate for your first 60 days, up to $200. Head to firstbet.com today. Been a while since I read some tweets. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciated. This is from... Just waiting. Oh, okay. From Richard Gigic. I hope I'm pronouncing... I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Richard, nonetheless, at... He says, I'm a lifelong Pirates fan. I do not feel happy for Mets fans. To be honest, I don't feel anything anymore. This is from your comment earlier that you wanted them, everybody should be happy for Mets fans. And Brian M., who says, having the Broncos was not fun last week. Anyone who says having the Broncos was not fun last week doesn't understand not fun. I took them over their season win total, thinking at least Stidham or Wilson could move the ball in the air with the receivers and Peyton coaching. That was a comment that Zach made that not fun backing the Broncos is what he's talking about. This is from Tristan Paul. Tristan Paul says, is there a way to catch the Megapod live? No, unfortunately, Tristan, there is not. It is just in podcast form. We get it up. We record it right after this show. We get it up as soon as possible, but no way to catch it live. From Bet New York, betting New York, says happy retirement to my goat, Rafael Nadal. I was lucky enough to watch him in person win the U.S. Open title against Medvedev. I was also lucky enough to see other epic matches at the U.S. Open and Wimbledon, including Rafa. End of an era for tennis. Good for you, man. I've been able to see Alcaraz and Swiatek, but I never got to see Nadal play live. But just, you know, we talked about it a little earlier. 22 Grand Slams. Only Novak Djokovic has more. 14 French Opens. There's nothing in sports as dominant as Rafa Nadal on clay. Bentley, at the Bentley, he says, no crack, man, unsubscribe. It's just this week, man. He had a flight. He didn't know it was coming. I apologize for that. This is from Nathan Mallinson. I'm actually super interested in this. He said, I went to a talk with Mike by Michael Lewis this week, the great author, Michael Lewis, Moneyball, famously. Big Short, other things. Strongly indicated his next book would be in relation to sports betting.
Okay.
Ooh. Specifically, what has happened since PASPA was repealed in the States. P.S. My NFL debut at Bears-Jags this Sunday in London. Oh, there you go.
Wow.
Okay. Nathan, I assume, is writing from London. Joe Belicious. I literally clicked accept on Clemson first quarter as you said it. LOL. All right. There you go. And then Xavier.
I just thought those were good first quarter numbers from Adam.
Xavier 82. Jacob says, I love how Kelly stole some of Adam Burke's thunder with the first quarter bet on Clemson, Georgia Tech on Saturday, since Adam mentioned that on the VEASAN College Football Betting Pod 2 days ago.
He also just did it on our
you
guest
pod. Thief. That's what you are.
I thought it was very obviously doing it since he just said it.
Jason H11, ACTION action. I'm going out on a limb here, but I'm thinking Gilly School wasn't good at sports. No, in high school we were. We were actually very good at sports in high school. Thank you very much.
I feel like all I remember is the dumbest like cheers. Like there was like the burr, it's cold in here. There must be whatever your team name is in the atmosphere. Which I still don't even fully understand.
Neither of those are as good. ACTION and action is not as good as ROWDIE. That's the way we spell rowdy rowdy. Do you know that one?
No, I don't.
What country did you grow up in?
Three.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Three.
All right. Time for our best bets of the week in the NFL. Yes?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We don't have any fancy intro for this,
dude. No, we don't.
Okay.
We do that.
For the second week in a row, I kind of like a lot. Took it to the tune of a 4-1 last week in the NFL in Circa Millions and with bets. And this week, I like four. We already talked about two of them today. I love the Niners tonight, -3.5 at Seattle, gave all the reasons why. A lot of that has to do with the fact that, you know, folks are going to be down on the Niners and their 2-3 record. But the truth is that yards per drive, they've been awesome. And they have been getting stymied in the red zone, which, again, the mainstream media will immediately go to, well, because they don't have Christian McCaffrey, that's a huge loss. True to some extent, but that's just most of that is narrative and not actually what happens with that kind of thing. Teams usually regress either to the good or to the bad when it comes to red zone offense and defense, by the way. Not that it has to regress, but I'm just saying in the case of the Niners, I'm going to be the guy who bets that it does to the positive. So I'll take the Niners there. And again, huge mismatch with Nick Bosa today on the other side of the ball. The Seahawks have an injury to George Fant. It's going to be Stone Forsythe. He gives up quarterback hurries and pressures as, you know, the most in the NFL. 20 hurries, 25 pressures. I will go with the Niners tonight, -3.5. We talked, Kelly and I did, in the Larceny Smooth Bet of the Week on the Bills at the bottom there. I'm on the Bills Monday night against the Jets. Also a slight road favorite, -2 in that Monday night tangle. Also like the ones in between, though, here on the screen. I like the Broncos +3. As we were talking about with Zach, I'm not loving this bet. I don't want to watch every play of this bet. But I'm just saying there's no justification for the Chargers to be 3-point favorites. That's all that bet is. And that's a reaction that I had Monday on Guessing Lines. And the reason we do Guessing Lines is because that initial reaction is often the best one. At least it is for me through the years. And so I love the Broncos +3. I'll take the full field goal. Again, is it my favorite bet in the world? It is not.
Right. Yeah. I think it's interesting, too, because have the Chargers surprised me a bit with picking up some of the wins early in the year? Yes. They had been injured. They're going to get a lot of those guys back. I think Drew put it well, though, the other day, too, where he was like, who are they, though, to be laying points on the road against anybody? That's kind of how I feel.
That's kind of what we said on Monday on Guessing Lines. It's like, why are they 3? Like, why?
And this Broncos team is just, I think going forward for me, Gil, it's just going to be tough to bet on or against just because of the defense has proven itself to be good and better than I expected, but the quarterback situation still it's a bit of a problem for me.
My guess on guessing lines was the Broncos would be favored by 1.5. Yeah. So even if you don't buy into what I'm saying, it shouldn't be 3 in favor of the Chargers. I just want to say this also about Justin Herbert. And we did this in the offseason. Remember, yep, we went through our quarterback, yep, rankings.
Let's bring it up again. It's not talked about enough.
It's not talked about enough. So I have Justin Herbert. I had him 8th. And I remember when we got to 8 and I said Justin Herbert is 8, I quickly said, this is the last year. Like, if nothing happens this year, and I know he's not surrounded by nearly the players he was in past years, but like at some point, you have to realize your potential, right? And last year, when he was surrounded by good players around him, the Keenan Allens and the Austin Ecklers of the world.
Last several years.
The Mike Williamses of the world, when there was no excuse. There were many times, and admittedly, maybe Herbert had a lot to do with getting them in this position. But late in games, the Chargers would have the ball on their racket, and Justin Herbert would not come through. So now he's facing a really good Denver Broncos defense, and you're laying 3. I'll take the Broncos all day long in that one. My last one, by the way, is I am on the Lions. This is the one that we brought up when we were referencing Drew Jinsik earlier in the week. This is the one where I also on guessing lines, another in my cavalcade of short road favorites, which is never a good long term way to do things, but I do kind of like it this week. I'm on the Lions -3. I'm a little surprised that it's only 3, you know?
Yeah, me too.
I thought it would be more than that. It's not. The Cowboys still getting some love in the market. I get it. You know, they should have beaten the Steelers handily the other night. They completely destroyed them in the box score. I was those turnovers from Dak that made that game have to come down to that final play on 4th down for the Cowboys. Good that they got it done, but the market still seems to think that, they're a relatively good football team. I'll take the Lions only having to lay the 3. You, sir.
Yeah, I like it. I'm just looking up some of the Herbert stuff right now. So you were talking about his 5th NFL season. 3 of those seasons, he had double-digit interceptions. This is we're talking about a Chargers team that really never made it that far in the playoffs. It's just, we talked about it over the summer. I don't know why some of these guys just get breaks and like it's because of how they were projected to be, how good they were projected to be, that we have to give them 7 years or something before we criticize their play.
Well, people like to crush Tua, and they will not, they'll bend over backwards, not saying anything bad about Herbert.
Yeah, I don't know. It got to that point. I'm not saying that it was before, but it felt like this summer when we had that conversation. It's like, why does nobody ever bring this up? It's just, some of these guys, I mean, Sam Darnold's even another example of like the guy is Bo Nix. How many years did he play in college football? It's like he was destined always to be in the NFL, like he was Peyton Manning. So it's like, therefore, he will play in the NFL. Sam Darnold, it's this guy that, like, everybody you just hear in the NFL circles talks about how much NFL teams and coaches love him, but it's just it needed multiple opportunities before it even panned out. Sorry, some of these quarterbacks that just get crowned immediately, yeah, it drives me crazy.
I'm with you.
I got a bunch this week, too. A bunch I like as well. Match with you on the Lions and the Bills. We already discussed those. And then a couple totals for me this week, Browns and Eagles. I played the under on this one. Eagles are expected to get a lot of those offensive pieces back. But, man, the Browns can't do anything offensively. And the Eagles, we haven't exactly seen, be on fire at any point this year offensively. So, like that one, laid the 5 with the Falcons on the open. A lot of these are opening line plays. Going into Carolina, I think we're seeing who the Panthers really are right now. Also played the over in that game, expecting to see points.
All right, on the other side, not just our best bets, but all of our guests' best bets as well. Guests' best bets, courtesy of GBank. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, the top of the hour after a numbers game, Money Moves with Stormy Bonnetoni. Stormy once again welcomes Matt Brown as our co-host today.
Always a good duo.
Oh, we love Matt Brown. We love Stormy too. Then after that, Prop Points. John Hansen will host Prop Points, of course, as he always does, from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern. Then Make It Rain with Adam Schein from 3 to 4, right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. We're always amused by what gets traction here. Oh, look, Bobby Knuckles has chimed in. He says, Kelly's just reciting cheers from the movie Bring It On. Don't let him fool you.
I mean, that's a great movie. So, I could be. I don't really remember.
Let me just say this about Bring It On. When Bring It On was out in the theaters in San Francisco, they actually had cheerleaders on stage before the show happened. Remember when going to movies in theaters was a thing?
Yeah.
I saw Bring It On in the theater. The girlfriend
was it that hyped?
And it was up in San Francisco, apparently was. And anyway, so they brought cheerleaders out. It's a great movie.
Wow, that's surprising.
Gabrielle Union, Kirsten Dunst. That was a great film.
Great flick. Now have you seen Bring It On again?
Hell no.
I think there was even more than that. I don't even know.
Lutz Cody 182. Cody Lutz says, looks like Stormy's on the sideline for the Pitt Cal game Saturday. Going to need her to bump the Eli for Heisman campaign loudly. Oh, Cody, I will work on that before I leave the studio. Be like, Stormy, you know the job.
Maybe she needs an assistant or an intern or something. We could get Wyatt Tomchek out there to give him a massage, you know, if his arm's tightening up or something like that, you know? Like he does with Giannis.
Just getting Eli Holstein massages on the field.
Okay. I'm sure he's warm, man.
Are you suggesting that Wyatt Tomchek is good for that kind of thing?
Yeah, he's good. That's right.
Steve Cohen, not that Steve Cohen. Steve Cohen 21 says, ACTION, action to win. Ice cold gambler. My school had nuts and bolts. We got screwed. Our cheerleader.
And then that's a good one.
And then he goes on to let us know what those cheerleaders are doing for a living. Which I won't repeat.
How's that put that one on the screen?
Bob C 137. UGLY, you ain't got no alibi. You ugly. That's another one. Love that one.
Yeah, but now Rob's in my head because I feel like that one was straight out of the movie.
Nah, man, these go around the country pretty good. And then Jason H11 chimes in with ANG fans in the stands. If you're with us, clap your hands. All right. Sweet.
Right. We're going to have to give this to Borchard to work on.
This is a job for Borchard.
Yeah, a true lyricist.
And then sports Samuel Ciara says Kelly should do guessing lines with cheer chants.
Tell boy.
Okay. All right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're very thrilled to do this. The G-Bank best bets of the day right here on A Numbers Game. Pretty pumped by this, Kelly. You got a list.
Yeah, that's right. I got a list. Everybody, all the guests' bets that we had throughout the show today, and we'll finish with ours. But mm-hmm. Zach Cohen, first up, BYU, college football lane 4.5. NFL, liked lane 2.5 with the Chargers, so go and oppo you on that one.
Oppo.
Magdalene Net plus 4.5 games. Is that today?
That is tonight. Okay. Yes, tonight stateside. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And then on to Tyler Shoemaker, who had Ohio State laying 3.5 in college football this weekend. USC plus 4.5 as well from him.
Wait, what was the one before USC?
Ohio State.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Adam Burke, sticking with college football, Middle Tennessee State tonight plus 4.5. Clemson laying the 20. By his explanation, I would recommend the first quarter as well, possibly. And then Paul Spohr. I don't know if he's firing on these or not, but he always feel like he talks for more of the betting angles when we get to the playoffs. Did say he liked the Tigers, Royals, and Padres at current prices.
He did say he liked the Padres in the end. Yes, yeah. I was somewhat not somewhat. I was happy to hear that because Padres got to get there for me to have my World Series matchup still intact. By the way, our bets should probably start with that. I still have 3 World Series matchups intact. Of the 8 that I made, it's Guardians, Padres, it's Tigers, Padres. Oh, no, it's only 2 left. Sorry. Guardians and Tigers, both against the Padres. So the Padres get bounced. I'm done with my World Series matchups. None of them will have gotten home. If the Padres do win, I'm still in play for both of those.
You're live. I like it.
I'm live.
Thursday Night Football?
Yeah. Thursday Night Football, I'm all over the Niners again tonight. We'll end the show as we started, in case you missed it. The Niners, 3.5-point favorites, and again, shout out to Sean Kerner over at Action, who does a great job with, as I always say, he does a great job with Thursday night football games. He probably does a great job with everything. I just don't see anything beyond the Thursday night stuff.
He does do a great job with everything.
But he points out again, second most yards per drive for the Niners on offense, but in the red zone. But they only rank 8th. Forget the red zone for a second. They only rank 8th in points per drive. So second in yards per drive, 8th in points per drive. And much of that has to do with the fact that their touchdown rate in the red zone is terribly low. It's only 41%, the 4th lowest in the league. And again, this is the difference between what you will hear in mainstream media and what you will hear in sports betting media. which is, again, the mainstream media is going to all say it's all CMC. The Niners are in trouble in the red zone. They don't have what it takes. And sure, obviously, Christian McCaffrey means something. But the fact of the matter is, much in sports, whether it's baseball, when we go through pitcher stats, talking about baseball card stats versus the actual things that pitchers can control, like FIP, right, like fielding independent pitching, like BABIP, things that really distill what a pitcher's true skill set are, which you won't hear in mainstream media. The same thing with what happens in the red zone, both offense and defense. You remember when Brian Daboll won Coach of the Year in the NFL, I went around and said, I go, this is just ridiculous that he won it because he's getting credit for the Giants' unbelievably high performance in both the red zone offensively and defensively. And the next year, the Giants ended up stinking. Why? Because that kind of stuff regressed. It was more than that, but that was a huge reason why, right? It's the runners in scoring position of football. It's the break points of tennis. That's what we're talking about with red zone stuff. So the Niners, I believe that will regress positively. I believe it starts tonight. And Seattle's defense has struggled, right? 42 points to the Lions, 29 points to the Giants, who didn't have Malik Nabers. They faced Bo Nix, Jacoby Brissett, and a combination of Skylar Thompson and Tim Boyle. And then the big thing on the other side of the ball, once again, no George Fant. It's going to be Stone Forsythe playing right tackle for the Seahawks. He's going to go up against Nick Bosa. Again, he's most quarterback hurries for Forsythe, 20. Most quarterback pressures he's given up, 25. That's all offensive linemen in the NFL. Not to mention on the Seattle defense, we have injuries, right? Uchenna Nwosu is out. First-round rookie Byron Murphy is out. Tarik Woolen is out. Tariq Woolen is out. So give me the Niners tonight, -3.5. You throw all that in there. Let's go.
Yeah, no slowing down that offense for me right now. All the injuries you just listed to on the defensive side, I think, are pretty big for the Seahawks team. So I played team total over. That's where actually I went with the 49ers over 25.5. Expect to see points from this offense, man. Love the way that Brock Purdy, we talked about it last week. I know he lost that game against the Cardinals. Love the way he's playing. It feels like they've opened up the playbook a bit more for him, allowing him to do a bit more out there on the field. Playing really well.
Yeah, and I don't have any pre-flop baseball today. I really don't. I don't have a sense of game four with the Guardians and Tigers. I don't have a sense for game four between the Royals and the Yankees. When I say I don't have a sense for, meaning I don't think there's much value in the pre-flop line. I do agree with what Adam is talking about, which is, and wish we were here to sort of go through it at the time, but we're not. We're all doing our own things at that time of day. With the, you know, rampant pitching changes, I think there are opportunities in game. But I think these pre-flop lines are pretty much where they ought to be now at this point. And so no plays for me there, but we will stick with the Thursday Night Football. Those are your GBank bets of the day, the official bank of VEASAN. GBank, Visa Signature Card, your best bet, delivering 1% cashback rewards on eligible gaming transactions and 2% cashback rewards on all other eligible transactions. For more information, head to VEASAN.com/GBank. That's VSIN.com/GBank. Subject credit approval, terms and conditions apply. Anything else? You betting any golf or anything?
Cashback rewards on gaming and sports app loading. I know Stephanie was talking in our meeting yesterday. Like, that's something right there. If you're loading up your apps through a card or something like that, that 1% ain't
right.
Nothing.
You're right. We shouldn't gloss through that promo. Yeah, marinate on it for a bit.
Yeah, no, it was. That was a nice little perk that Stephanie brought up in our meeting about the GBank sponsorship. We're happy to have them on board. I'm looking at WNBA. I'm excited to watch this finals. I love this Liberty team.
So what'd you land on? Breonna Stewart and Sabrina?
I got to shop around prices. Anything I actually bet, I'll put up at VEASAN.com later today. I didn't want to throw that in our best bets because I haven't bet anything yet. I do think I'm looking at Liberty 3-1, though. I'll probably bet that small. And then I think I'm going to do the Stewart-Ionescu, just bet them both MVP.
Yeah. All right. I'm looking forward to the Royals and the Yankees, and I hope Costas gets it right tonight.
What a heck of a night of sports. College football going on, too?
It's the best month of the sports betting year. Best month.
It's just crazy because then NBA is going to start up and I'm like the rest of the stuff.
Oh, I can't either. By the way, do you have an NBA, like a little tease from the betting guy that you'd like to give before we go?
Sure. You know what? Yes, thank you. I had a live betting article. We retooled and reposted for this year's live betting. A lot of the ways, Gil, you and I talked about, you, Matt and I talked about so much on primetime action over the years with how much of the live betting opportunities we were able to seize on. Just wrote a lot about how to approach NBA from a live betting standpoint. Some of the basics that you can just look at for that. And then I think one of the more fun write-ups that I did, for me at least, was the Wemby. Me and you bet him MVP as soon as it came out. How would you approach betting him now heading into the season? I think that's a little bit different. So I threw out a few options for people to consider.
All right. And now on the transition, I'm going to talk to Stormy about Eli Holstein for a good 5 minutes. Money Moves next with Stormy and Matt Brown. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.